morning is going to be taken from Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you're going to follow along in your pew Bible, that's the New King James translation. I'm going to be reading from an ESV. Verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our day in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of our works done by us in righteousness, but according to our own mercies, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So being justified by in his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Good morning. Nothing like having an hour to prepare a sermon. Praying for Josh. I know what's really going on. He's just nervous to speak publicly, but we'll pray for his back. No, I'm kidding. Love Josh, and I appreciate him reaching out this morning. I told him a long time ago that if he were ever in a situation like this, that I would try to be prepared, and I know we have other brothers here that would be prepared as well to speak. If you would, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Some of you, there's a picture on the screen right there of Chicken Little, and it says, "The sky is falling." Some of you may remember that story. It's gone by different names. I think it originated maybe in England, and it went by Henny Penny there. But the story is that there was this chicken Little, who sat underneath a tree, and an acorn fell on his head, and he thought that the sky was falling. So he thought the sky was falling, and he goes to tell the king, I think, again, with this story originating in England, going to tell the king that the sky is falling. And along the way, he comes across many different animals and tells each animal along the way that the sky is falling and explains what happened. And in the end, we know that, of course, the sky wasn't falling. An acorn had fallen on his head. And sometimes, I just want you to think of a question this morning. Sometimes we get paranoid, we get anxious, we get in states of worry about things going on in the world and maybe even in our own lives. And I want to ask you a question, and I want you to just be careful answering this in your head. This morning, if I were to ask you, how are things going? I just want you to think of what your answer would be, and we're going to come back to this at the end. I want you to think of what your answer would be. How are things going? How are things going politically? How are things going socially, economically? How are things going personally in your life? How are things going religiously? If you were to formulate an answer to that question, how are things going? I just want you to think of what your answer would be to that. When we come back to that question at the end of the sermon, I want you to think of what your answer is right now and the things that you're thinking about of what's going on in and around your life and what your answer would be to somebody if they asked you that. Look at Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 25. They returned from spying out of the land. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness at Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But when the men who had gone with him said, "We are not able to go up against those people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." I just want you to think about the report being delivered to these people. You see some men saying, we don't even compare to the size of these people. There's all these nations there, and there's no way we can go up against these people. And what did Caleb say? Caleb said, "Let us go up at once, for we are able to take this land. We are able to take these people." The question that I asked you, how are things going with you? What would your report be? Again, personally in your own life, the things going on around you in society, politically, economically, socially, religiously, what would your report be? And again, I want you to be thinking about that as we go through this, because there's an important lesson for us. What are some of the different ways worry and paranoia can manifest themselves online, on TV, in the news, or in our social networks at work or at school? What are the things that you're hearing from people? What are things that you're hearing from Christians, people who are in Christ? Let's look at some political paranoia, some political worry and anxiety. We look at John 19, and we know what's going on here. Jesus, of course, is being delivered to Pilate. Jesus is being scourged and is about to be crucified. Pilate is asking him in chapter 19, down to verse 10, "Are you not speaking to me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" Jesus said, "You would have no power at all against me except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin." I want you to think about political right now. We know we have an election coming up, and we just had a prayer service, and we sang songs, and we prayed together, and it's something that a lot of us in this room are concerned about. But I want to ask you, are you worried about it? Are you paranoid about it? Are you anxious about it? Here is our Savior. Listen, our Savior, who is just hours away from hanging on a cross, suffering, being crucified with a very slow death. He knows what's coming up, and he's telling Pilate, "You don't have any power at all. The power that's been given to you has been given from God." Is Jesus here in this moment? Is he succumbing to worry and anxiety and paranoia? What's going to happen? Jesus is speaking the truth to Pilate and letting him know where his power comes from. We, as Christians, can think that as well. Have that in the back of our mind, regardless of who's occupying the Supreme Court, Congress, the presidency. And I'm not saying none of those things matter. What I'm saying is we have to know in our minds, no one is in that position unless that power were given by God. We looked at Romans 13 the other night on Wednesday in our prayer service. We're told to be subject. Romans 13, 1 through 3, or 1 through 7. "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." Right? We talked about those things on Wednesday night. We know that we should be praying for these rulers. We know that we should be praying for our country, praying for those in office, not just the one that we associate ourselves with in a political party type way, to come up and even here in the pulpit and say public prayers for so-and-so because they're the one that I wanted, and then for 4 years we're silent from the pulpit. Why would we not pray for somebody that we didn't vote for, somebody that we might think is not doing a great job? Why would we not pray for that person as well? We should be praying all the more. When it comes to politics, we have a lot of people in the world right now being anxious about it, being worried about it. But again, as Christians, are we setting the tone for that in our circles? I want you to look at Titus, which was read. I appreciate that being read earlier. here's something that I just want to leave with you politically, and I'm not going to hang on the politics part because we did that a lot on Wednesday night. We're going to focus on some other things this morning in our brief time together. But look at Titus. I just want you to take this with you, Titus 3, 1 through 7, and I want you to be thinking about this in the upcoming weeks and months, even in November when the decision is made and we have a president for the next 4 years, either one returning or one that will be occupying it for the first time. Keep these verses in mind. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and power, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Look at verse 2. To speak evil of no man. How many of us need to repent right now because of conversations that we've found ourselves in where we're calling people morons and idiots and worthless? I heard a Christian, somebody in Christ, call a particular political person worthless. Speak evil of no man. To not be brawlers, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were once, wait a second, hold on. This is talking about me now? Is this talking about you now? We also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Anybody in here still struggling with sin? Living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another? But what's happened to us? What's happened to you and I? Verse 4, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Regardless of who's occupying the presidency, regardless of who's occupying Congress and who's occupying the Supreme Court, listen, the Supreme Court, if you don't know, has made some terrible decisions in the past. Look up the Dred Scott case if you can't remember that from 8th grade U.S. history. Look up one from 2015, which I think was a terrible decision that went 5-4 in favor of homosexual marriage. Our Supreme Court has made terrible choices in the past. They've made good ones as well. I certainly continue to pray for them, pray for our president, pray for our Congress, but in no way is anything that's happening politically driving us to be anxious, to be paranoid, and to think that God is not in control. Economic paranoia. Are we worried about our finances? And I'm not just talking about inflation and things like that, some things that may be going on even right now. What I'm talking about is, are we worried just about our own personal finances when things aren't going the way that we would have them? Remember, there were some people in Mark chapter 12 that were a little paranoid, a little worried, a little anxious about what was going on financially. They went to Jesus and they said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care for no man, for you regard not the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" What was Jesus' response? Was it, "Oh yeah, this guy's an evil guy, man. You hold on to your money. Don't give that guy your money." Jesus said, after they asked, "Shall we give or not?" He said, "Why do you tempt me? Bring me a penny that I may see it." And they brought it, and he said, "Whose image is this?" And they said, "It's Caesar's." And Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Give to God. David said, I was young, I'm old now, and I have not seen God's people forsaken. Is God going to forsake you? Look at Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, you talk to people who grew up during the Great Depression, people who grew up during that time, and I have talked to people and they have had smiles on their face, talking fondly and even kind of just joking around about the things that they had to eat and the things that they didn't have. It just, oh man, let me tell you, this. I show a video to my kids about weird things that people ate during the Great Depression. One thing that came out of it was Kraft macaroni and cheese, so some of the kids in here pretty thankful for that. But there's a lot of really odd things that they had to eat that people had to put together that people still eat to this day, even though they may not have to, but they got used to it. You talk to people who grew up and lived during the Great Depression, one of the toughest economic times ever, and our country certainly the worst. And they look back and, oh yeah, and they could tell you all the great things that happened in their life during that time. And I bet you as kids, they probably didn't even know really what was going on. Maybe their parents were a little more worried than they. Will God take care of you and your personal finances? Will God take care of this congregation? Will Laverne ever be in a situation where we are not able to carry out a good work here? Where we are not able to provide for those that are sitting in here right now and those who come and visit, those that are members amongst us? Are we ever going to be in a situation where we're not able to reach out to this community and say, hey, we have something to give, we can help you? God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Do we have religious paranoia? I'm going to be honest with you. I have to repent this morning of some of the things that we're talking about. I've gotten to the point where I've felt pretty negative other than being here. When I go out into the world and I just feel like, man, are there Christians left? You know, I have that Elijah feeling, you know, just Lord, come right now. Just end this. If it were up to me, it'd just be over right now, because it just seems like people aren't following God. But what did God say to Elijah? And if you don't remember that story, remember Elijah had probably one of the biggest religious experiences you could ever have. He literally was able to call on God personally and for God to send fire down on this altar. You think you'd leave from that situation and never struggle religiously ever again. You know, I literally was able to call God to send fire down. I would like to have an experience like that. If God ever wants to use me in that way, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? But then he's immediately being chased, right? And he's finding himself in a situation, God, just kill me. Verse 18 of 1 Kings chapter 19. I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. God is telling you, if you're a little worried, if you're a little anxious, a little paranoid, you know, man, it seems like the people in this room right now, you know, I can be around these folks because these folks are putting God first. But man, out there in the world, it's just a dumpster fire. Like it's over. And God's saying, hold on a second. There's not just people there right there with you at Laverne, but I've got people all over Tennessee. I've got people all over the United States. By the way, I've got people all over the world who haven't bowed their knee to Satan, who have not given in to the worldly pressures, worldly desires, people who are willing to stand with you and preach the truth. I don't know about you, but again, you hear it a million times in church that we shouldn't forsake the assembly. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons why, if you're somebody in here that maybe hasn't been here in a while, or you're thinking about missing because of things that you're going through, I'm just telling you right now, it is here that you gain the strength and that you're encouraged that, hey, there's still people serving God. I'm not the only one. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've asked Bible classes before, I want you to imagine that today's Sunday, okay? I want you to imagine that this Friday coming up, how Jesus died is going to be the way that you die. I just want you to imagine if that was on your mind all week. I'm going to be beaten mercilessly. I'm going to have a crown of thorns put on my head that nails digging into my skull. I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be mocked. And I'm going to be nailed to a cross. And I'm going to be lifted up and left there to basically suffocate and die. Just imagine if that was happening to you this Friday. This is what's going through Jesus' mind as he is going through the last week of his life, and certainly as he's here under this scrutiny. And he's telling them, I'm bringing you peace. I don't want you guys to worry about things. I don't want you to be paranoid about things. I don't want you to be anxious about things. Don't worry about it. I've got you covered. I'm leaving you peace. What I'm about to go through is something that none of you ever would wish that you would go through, but listen, you're going to go through these types of things, probably less than what I'm about to go through, but just be of good cheer because I've already overcome the world. You know, I haven't had a situation in my life where I was able to watch a sporting event live as it's happening and then know the outcome. Even when you think a team or somebody is definitely going to win because they're favored by so much, how many upsets have we seen in the world? But you know what? I'm just going to tell you something. There are times where I'm not able to watch a football game, a Michigan game or something like that, and I'll record it. When I'm watching it later on and I've already seen the score that Michigan has won, I'm still getting upset at some of the things that's happening throughout the game, the turnovers and things like that. Why? Why would you get upset? Oh, the guy was wide open. Dude, you saw the score. I don't know if you've ever recorded a Titans game or something like that, and you've seen the score. You know that they won, and you're watching the highlights, and you're still getting upset at the mistakes. This is basically what we do when we go through life and we fall apart at some of the things that are happening. God is already telling us, Jesus is telling, I've already overcome the world. You guys know the final score. It's determined. Why are you getting so thrown off by some of the things that happen? We know why. Because in our flesh, we're weak, and we are trying to gain strength from him. Lastly, personal paranoia. We don't even have to turn to Job. You know what happened to Job. Again, one of the worst situations we could read about in the Bible was somebody losing so much. In Job 3:25, he says, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me, and I was not at ease." How many things happen to us personally in this life, and we get anxious, we get worried. Oh man, here it comes. If you're like me, you've had situations in your life before where you have gotten pretty anxious about something, nervous about something, paranoid about something. Then the thing comes and goes, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen anywhere near what you thought it was going to happen like. Maybe there was a little trial there, but nothing like you thought. What is your mindset about what's going on religiously in the world, socially? Again, the election coming up. Are you building up to this moment just filled with anxiety? And oh man, if this person's elected, this country's just going downhill. They're going to run it into the ground. Are they? Or if this person wins, they're going to be the savior of this country, and this country's just going to have economic boom and everything else for the next 4 years. Are we? Do you know? Or do we worry ourselves sometimes with these things when we should just take these concerns to God? James 1:2-4, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." And it goes on to say, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. We need to ask God for wisdom. Personally, what's going on in your life? Maybe you're not worried or consumed about the election. Maybe you're not consumed with worry or anxiety about some of the things going on socially or even religiously. Maybe you're like, look, I'm surrounded by Christians every Wednesday, Sunday, and sometimes other days. I work with Christians. I work with brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, I'm fine when it comes to that. Personally, though, what's going on? Is there something in your life bothering you, giving you anxiety? You know, I lived my life pretty anxiety-free until about 12 years ago when we had our first child. You know, children can get you to worry, can't they? Well, they're going to be here, and I'm not going to be there. Some of us, you know, that first night handing them off, even to the people who raised you for the evening. Here, grandparents, have our child for the evening. We're gripped with paranoia about that, anxiety and worry about that. And they're the people who literally had you in the house for years, raising you and allowing you to stay the night, so to speak, for years. And we get worried about that even. We need to take these things to God and realize who's really in charge. And sometimes in our weakness, in our flesh, we forget God is God, just to be honest. I want you to look back to Numbers 13. I asked you a question earlier as we come to a close. I want you to look again at verse 28. Back up to verse 27, Numbers 13. They told them, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong." We sound like this when we say, "I know God is God. I know he's in charge. But if this person gets elected, I know God is in charge, but this is going on socially, economically. This is happening to me and my life." This is what we sound like. Instead, I think we should be sounding like Caleb in verse 30. "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome them." But I want you to look down at verse 32. This is why I asked you that question. If somebody asked you, "How are things going with you?" They gave the children of Israel a bad report. In other translations, it says an evil report. I just want to share this with you this morning. The word there for bad or evil, the people that gave the bad or evil report, it is a defamation, it is a whispering, an unfavorable saying, and it is slander. If you don't get anything else from this morning, I just want you to hear this. If somebody were to ask you what was going on with you right now, if your answer is, "Well, so-and-so's running the country into the ground, this gas prices and the grocery prices, and I can't even do this, that, and the other," and your report is that everything is awful and terrible and it's all going downhill, I just want you to know, when we do that, we are slandering God. We are slandering the one who says it's actually not going downhill. "I've got 7,000 people who haven't knelt to Baal. Why are you asking me to kill you? Why are you so consumed with worry about the election or the gas prices or anything else going on? Why are you so consumed with anxiety and worry? Why are you falling apart?" Because when you say those things, when you act like the sky is falling, just like Chicken Little, it's not. An acorn fell on your head. Look around. You were under a tree. Things fall from trees. You don't. And by the way, then you get other people to worry, right? This, according to the story, look that up if you haven't read it in a while, gets all these other animals. And then when they go to the next animal, "Well, how do you know the sky is falling?" "So-and-so told me. And so-and-so told me." And then it gets all the way back to the original source, Chicken Little. "Hey, I saw it. I felt it. Something fell on my head. Trust me, the sky is falling." And God is telling us, it's not. Don't speak evil of people. Be comforted by the fact that we've been redeemed. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in this world. It's going to be here. It's going to be here tomorrow. You're going to wake up next week and there's going to be trouble. If God sees fit that we're here 10 years from now, 40 years from now, there's still going to be trouble. And Jesus is saying, I have overcome the world. Listen, you don't have to come forward this morning. You can be like me and you can just make a decision inside to say, God, I repent of the way that I've thought at times when things aren't going so well, the times I've gotten negative, the times I've complained, the times that I've thought that the sky is falling. I recognize the sky is not falling. I recognize that you are in control, and I recognize that when I say the sky is falling, when I say everything around me is just awful and this world's just going downhill and this country's going downhill, I recognize that I'm slandering you and I'm bringing an evil report. That shouldn't be so, because I know that you've said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. The victory is already ours. And you can be like Paul in Philippians 4. If I'm going to be anxious about nothing, then what do I need to do? I need to go to God in prayer. And instead of saying all the negative things, I can start being thankful. With thanksgiving, make your supplications known to God. That statement right there, "I have overcome the world," is what keeps me going each and every day. I hope it does for you. Jesus loves us. Jesus is wanting us to not panic, to not fall apart. Yes, I better not stray without the lapel. Jesus is wanting us to look to him and to keep our faith in all things, regardless of what's going on. If you have a need this morning, maybe you do want to come forward. Maybe you have been gripped with paranoia and you want us to pray for you. We can certainly do that. Before I officially offer the invitation, I do want to mention that Bible class today, instead of 10 after, will stop at the top of the hour. Just wanted to say that for all of our teachers. If you have a need today, if you need to put on Christ in baptism so that you don't have to live with paranoia and fear and anxiety in your life, or if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ that needs our prayers, please come as we stand and sing.